shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be.
This is Amazing Performances. Get ready to start your day with Special K. And now, from the 1010 KXXT studios, here's your host, Kevin Pecos.
Welcome to another Amazing Performances radio broadcast. I know it's Thursday, Mark. Do you know what the date is?
It is Thursday the 19th, 2009.
Wow. Well, of course, I'm Kevin Pecos, and that's my cohort, my partner in crime, as it would be, Mark Ira Johnson on the other side of the glass, looking all spiffy in his Cubs hat. What's with that hat, dude?
Hey, what do you think's with that hat?
We're in Arizona. It's Diamondbacks country.
Hey, I come from that part of the country, so I can celebrate.
Go home. Well, we also want to remember to remind everybody that today is the future. Is it the future you hope for? And, Mark, we explain that every day as meaning more than what it sounds like. Are you in a place right now if this was the last day you'd have on earth that you would be completely happy with everything you've done, completely in the knowledge that everybody that you count as close to your heart has your back and supports you at 100% of everything you've done? And would that be enough for you?
Wow.
And, well, since I'm in that place, I want to thank the people that make that possible. Say hello to my wife of 28 years, Dana, to the kids, Jamie and Jeremiah. It's my daughter and my son-in-law. To Mom, Kip and her family, my brother Jack and his four-pack, and we have a special show today, and you're going to want to ask yourself that question before and after this show, because some of the stuff that they're going to tell us about are going to make you wonder about the past, the future, and the present. But also, before we get to that, let's remind everybody that we are on the air 6 days a week, Monday through Friday, 8 to 8:30 for Amazing Performance Radio. And Saturday nights, 8 to midnight for ASPN, the Arizona Sports Network broadcast, Mark.
A show you do not want to miss. It is a Saturday night event.
It is. And you can find our web pages and listen online worldwide by going to azfl.com and click on the links for each of our radio shows there. Be sure to also check out the sponsor when you get there, one of the primaries, which is the Arizona Football League. It's 11-man tackle club football. There's teams statewide in Flagstaff, Prescott Valley, Sierra Vista, Casa Grande, Tucson, and all over the Phoenix area playing right now. Games this week in Flagstaff and four games in Phoenix at Thunderbird High School. You're going to want to give a look-see. In this day and age when things are full of stress, what would be better than actually being able to just knock somebody on their can, get up, not put in handcuffs, and both guys shake hands and do it all over again?
Fun.
The perfect stress release is legal mayhem. I mean, this is what you would call rioting with no regrets.
No repercussions.
Hey, that's football, man.
That's it.
If you want to play, go to azfl.com. If you want to watch, go to azfl.com. If you want to call Dana at 800-887-AZFL or go to azfl.com and you'll get the information there. We want to get right to our guests. Today's show is going to be rather interesting. Matt Lawrence has been on before, and he's a master of preparedness. And it's not a scary topic. I mean, I really, Matt and Thomas, I kind of regret that we have to follow every morning some of the pre-shows that we go into, because nothing is more depressing than listening sometimes to Christian radio, especially in the morning. But it kind of puts everything in a bad mood. But you are the master of preparedness, so I'm sure we have a way out of this. And you're the author of What to Do Till the Cavalry Comes, and that's Matt Lawrence I'm talking about. But today we have a special topic. You and your co-author have come up with a new book, and it's intriguing. And you can go, our listeners can go to azfl.com and go right to it. When you click on Amazing Performances, there's a picture of the book, which links right to the information on both gentlemen and the book. So you guys are the experts on the subject about betrayal. And, in fact, I'm just going to let you go. Why don't you start off, Matt, and introduce your co-author.
Okay. Well, first, not depressing listening to Christian radio in the morning. It's a blessed thing. kind of sets the tone for the day and makes you think where you need to be. And that kind of leads into our book called Betrayal, Clinton, Castro, and the Cuban Five.
Perfect.
My co-author is Thomas Van Hare. Tom is a dear friend of mine for 20 years. We flew rescue missions back in the early 90s together, and we're actually part of the Brothers to the Rescue group, which is what this book is about. Tom's also a three-time Pentagon appointee, having worked at different jobs inside the Department of Defense. And Betrayal came about after two of the Brothers to the Rescue aircraft, search and rescue aircraft, civilian aircraft, were shot down by Cuban MiGs in international waters. And Thomas called me and told me what had happened, and I immediately went into shock. And we ended up working on a project that we thought was going to take just a couple of years to do. It's been a 13-year effort. The trial for the spies that infiltrated the civilian rescue group is still ongoing. They've actually just filed a writ before the Supreme Court asking for a retrial because their basis for what they did was to defend Cuba against terrorists. So Betrayal is the story and the backstory of the shootdown, and it reveals a very, very dark picture of international negotiations and trying to normalize relations with Cuba. And also the fact that there were people who knew on both sides, including in the United States, a very high-ranking Clinton administration official.
Right. And you sent me an advanced copy of your manuscript, and I started reading it the other night about 11, and I couldn't stop till I was nearly done. It was a very startling thing to see how deep you guys were able to get information and how far this went. But it was just flat-out murder, and it seemed to be, even though you guys don't say this in the book, it appeared to me as if we could have stopped it but chose not to.
That's true. I'm sure that someone could have made a phone call. I think Tom is better versed to discuss the bureaucracy in Washington, D.C. and how that works. And we'll let him do that, but Tom can explain how things work up the chain. Tom, why don't you give us a briefing on the spies and how that little bureaucracy thing worked?
Okay, well, thank you, Matt. And Kevin and Mark, thanks for having us on this morning. Very much appreciate the opportunity to be on your show. One of the things which really a lot of people don't understand is that this group, Brothers to the Rescue, had been out flying search and rescue missions for about 6 years. Literally flew thousands of missions, saved probably approximately 15,000 people. This is straightforward humanitarian acts. And these are men, women, and children who were trying to get out of Cuba. And this group went out, and they were the eyes and ears of the United States Coast Guard. The group would spot the Cubans, and the Coast Guard would pick them up. And it would save their lives, because three out of four who set out of Cuba simply disappear.
Wow.
One day, the Cubans decided to come out and shoot them down. And so this group was flying little Cessna airplanes, and the Cubans came out with MiG-29s and MiG-23s, and they used a 10-foot-long missile and shot these guys out of the sky. Which, if you can imagine a MiG-29 against a little Cessna, a twin-engine Cessna 337 Skymaster, I think you kind of know the guys never stood a chance.
Yeah, it's not fair.
And they used a missile that the Soviet-made R-73. It's sort of like going duck hunting with a bazooka. So they literally never saw it coming. They never had a chance, and they were blown out of the sky. And, at the time when that happened, I called Matt. It broke on the news. I called Matt right away, and I told him, they just shot some guys down, some of our friends. And what resulted then is we started to look into why. You know, how did this happen? You know, where was the U.S. Air Force? Because in the past, we'd been intercepted a number of times, and the U.S. Air Force would come out and chase the Cubans away and so on. Because, you know, the Cubans like to keep a threatening environment between the U.S. and Cuba. And somehow the U.S. Air Force wasn't there that day. So we began to do some research, and 13 years later, what we've uncovered is that it wasn't just a shootdown. The events of the shootdown began months before, and the Cubans practiced it, and the U.S. watched them practice it, and Fidel Castro even went so far as to ask permission of the United States government to shoot these guys down. And nobody picked up the phone and called them and said, "You are going to be shot down tomorrow."
Kevin, I want to say something here. You know, Tom said that the Cubans asked the Cuban government for permission. The way that they did that is there were diplomatic corps going back and forth trying to normalize relations with Cuba during the Clinton administration. This is something that hasn't occurred in 50 years. Every president since Eisenhower has tried, and everyone has failed and had something happen. Carter had the Mariel boat lift. President Clinton himself had problems in Fort Chaffee, Arkansas, when Cuban rafters from Mariel were stuck in his prison.
Well, he ended up not getting reelected because of that.
When these diplomatic corps went over, they included people like Governor Bill Richardson, the Governor Bill Richardson, Peter Bourne, our nation's first drug czar under Nixon. These are people, former military people, generals. These are people who knew when you're asked by a foreign country what will happen if we shoot them down. They're serious, especially a dictatorship like Castro. Because of the bureaucracy, it never went anywhere. It became such a serious point with Fidel Castro that he negotiated the release of political prisoners and released them to Governor Bill Richardson about 2 weeks before the shootdown occurred and told Bill Richardson, these are not to you, these are to President Clinton, almost in an effort to trade these political prisoners to have our country stop these flights from flying over international waters to save Cuban rafters.
Wow. So there was a payoff. Clearly, there was a payoff involved in, and that's why our military jets, who usually, and I read in the book that that the watchers in California, the radar spotters, actually had all the radar had been turned to that region prior to these flights taking place, that he had seen everything take place. He witnessed it from the other side of the country. And he made a phone call saying, do you see what's happening? What are you going to do? And they said, we have it handled, and they hung up on him.
Major Jeffrey Houlihan, that's correct. And I want you to understand that the brothers to the rescue were scheduled to fly that morning, and they did not, and their flight plan expired. They had to call back that afternoon to refile the flight plan. The FAA had already been told that Cuban MiGs had been in the area in the morning and that F-15s had scrambled in the morning. They never relayed that information to the brothers to the rescue. All of the military sites, including NORAD, who claims the reason F-15s didn't fly in the afternoon was a mix-up in communication, they said that they had their radars turned towards the Florida Straits, and there was also a P-3 Orion aircraft, which was never seen in any mission that I was on, that flew over the brothers to the rescue aircraft and spotted by the group's leader, Jose Basulto. That's a radar aircraft.
Right.
Clearly, our military was watching the area, our civilian radar sites were watching the area, and it was known all the way through to the Washington bureaucracy. Richard Nuncio sent an email to Sandy Berger. Now, mind you, these names are familiar to people. We're talking about Clinton's Cuba advisor and the deputy secretary to the National Security Council here.
Right.
And no one placed a phone call. It's unconscionable.
And Houlihan said point blank that this could have been prevented, that they should have scrambled the jets, which happened to be, for some reason, taken off battle station ready and put away, and they could have been there before anything happened and stopped it.
Well, they taxied back to the hangars. Officially, NORAD says it's a communications error.
Right.
I think actually it's probably... I don't believe that NORAD was complicit in the murder of Americans that Cuba perpetrated. What my belief is that there was a lot of communications problems, and there were some flaws in the U.S. air defense network that came to light in large part because of this shootdown. And when things go wrong, they continue to go wrong. But the interesting thing about it is it's not necessarily the NORAD flaw or problem with the communications that resulted in this shootdown. The Brothers to the Rescue didn't even have to be there that day.
Right.
They could have been told 15 times to tomorrow not to fly, and that the Cuban MiGs were going to hunt them, etc. And instead, up in Washington, people were tearing their shirts, and the night before they said they had trouble sleeping and so on because they thought something really bad was going to happen. And, you know, nobody picks up the phone and says, look, they're going to go after you tomorrow. Don't fly. Because I can tell you, having flown those missions, if somebody had put in a call like that to me, I would never have taken off that day.
No.
And when Carlos Costa, one of the guys who was killed, a very good friend of mine, when he called to file his second flight plan, the FAA that received the flight plan was actually handling the return of the F-16 interceptors that had scrambled that morning. Because the Cubans had taken off planning for an intercept of the Brothers to the Rescue airplanes that morning based on their original flight plan. And when, you know, obviously the planes weren't there, so the Cubans, the U.S. Air Force came out, the Cubans flew home, and later on that day, you know, the Air Force is coming back, Carlos Costa calls, files another flight plan. Do you think they tell him, Cubans are out looking for you? Nothing like that has happened.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there was definitely some errors. I can also tell you that we did uncover a lot of interesting information about what happened in the squadron. So we'll get to that in a moment.
Yes, we'll get to that right in about 2 minutes. Mark, you've got a number there for Dave's Car Care.
Dave's Car Care Center, the number is 623-979-2370. That's 623-979-2370 for Dave's Car Care.
And we want you to give Dave's a call. They're located on 51st Avenue and Peoria in the West Valley. Especially in today's economy, your car can actually become an asset. In the past, you know, it's an expense, and when it got worn out, you bought a new one and got more expense. But what he's going to do is give you a free bumper-to-bumper inspection and a consultation with his ASE-certified technicians. And he's going to take this vehicle and make it last well beyond what you thought was possible. I can tell you, you know, from personal experience, he's been in business since 1980. He's been taking care of my family's cars through my kids growing up for over 26 years. And I have vehicles that went well over 200,000 miles. And they, when you hit the gas, they still feel like they did when I first got them, which is kind of cool because now that I'm older, driving that fast in the kind of car I'm in is cool because no one looks at you. It's like, hey.
That new car feeling.
That's right. And but the best part about Dave's Car Care is their warranty is twice the industry standards, and they will make sure that you are picked up and dropped off, and you can take your wife, have your wife take the car in. She'll go in and she'll come away feeling like she not only was treated well, but that they explained things into her in such a way that she's going to feel like she's a car expert herself. But no one gives better care than Dave Demon and his staff, and we'd love for you to give him a call.
Yeah, 623-979-2370. That's 623-979-2370.
Money can buy love. Just ask anyone who owns a Chihuahua. Love comes running every time you enter the room, call their name, or look their way. They watch your home, telling you whenever anyone comes near, because they will stand between strangers and those they hold dear. Yes, money can buy love, but once you hold one of God's finest little creatures, then your Chihuahua becomes priceless. To find your new best friend, go to www.arizonachihuahuas.com to pick some of the finest and hand-raised, loving, cared-for Chihuahuas in the world. You can call 623-399-2622. That's 623-399-2622. And ask for Dana, and she can tell you all about each puppy from the instant they were born to today. She's loved them until you can take them home.
Attention seniors, when the whistle blows for the last time on your high school football career and you're not going to play in college right away, then stay in the game with the Arizona Football League. The AZFL is an amateur club league, so you keep your eligibility, plus you stay on film and can be seen by colleges. Since we began in 1995, more than 150 have returned to college. Teams are playing statewide for the 2008 season right now. If you're at least 18 years old and have your own equipment, then contact us at 1-800-877-AZFL or visit us at www.azfl.com. Stay in the game.
Welcome back. We're with Matt Lawrence and Thomas Van Heer about their new book, Betrayal, Clinton, Castro, and the Cuban Five. And Thomas, you were going to finish a thought.
Well, you know, what happened back at the U.S. Air Force Squadron at Homestead Air Force Base when the Cubans came out with MiGs to shoot down the Brothers to the Rescue Cessnas is that the squadron commander was on the phone with NORAD. And we know this because Major Houlihan, who was on the radar station, who placed that one call out to NORAD to ask, why aren't you launching, later, you know, talked with the squadron commander. And the guy said, you know, I was pounding on the desk. I was begging for an opportunity to launch. and they never approved that I could launch my fighters to intercept the Cuban MiGs.
Wow.
Now, there were three airplanes that were out flying that day.
Right.
And two of them were shot down. And the other half of the story is that the third one turned toward home and climbed up and was trying to fly away. And Jose Basulto, the group's organization's leader, was on that airplane. And he said, we didn't know if we would be there, you know, 1 second or, you know, be blown up the next. They saw the MiGs. They saw the other guys get shot down. They knew what was happening. They just flew home and hoped. And two other MiGs were launched in Cuba and chased them back north. And they chased them right up to, and based on the timelines, we can fairly well understand, they chased them across the air defense identification zone into U.S. airspace nearly all the way to Key West.
Wow.
And the entire time, while we've got Cuban MiGs hunting American citizens in American airspace, practically within sight of Key West, the U.S. Air Force never got the authorization from the NORAD guys to launch. And that is just, I mean, if you want to talk about a communications error, that is a horrific, horrific communications error. But the errors on our side are compounded, not so much by what I might call ineptitude, but actually it's compounded by what amounts to a cover-up after the fact.
And the fact is the cover-up was to cover the trail of the mistakes made. This group was infiltrated by Cuban spies.
Yes.
The Cuban Five are sitting in federal penitentiaries, one of them charged with conspiracy to commit murder. One of the other spies that had infiltrated Brothers to the Rescue, Juan Pablo Roque, escaped the day before the shootdown and appeared on television a couple of days later sitting next to Fidel Castro. The spy network that expanded all the way to Washington, D.C., included Ana Belén Montes, who was working in our Defense Intelligence Agency, a 16-year analyst.
She was the senior Cuba analyst for the entire United States government. And that means that she was not just another, you know, Cuban analyst maybe stealing secrets for Cuba. She was actually, as a senior analyst, in charge of the U.S. intelligence community's view of everything that was going on in Cuba. And she was actually working for the other side.
Wow. And the thing, too, is now they're painting the Cuban Five as you know, these wonderful family people, and they're trying to get the international community to get them released. And we're talking about flat-out murder here. And the interesting thing about your book, one of the things that was in there was very clear that this was a vengeance mission by Castro and the Cubans. And if you go to the website for mattlawrencebooks.com, you will actually hear the audio recording that the government has of the pilots of those MiGs chasing them, locking on, and celebrating the murder of these men. And this whole thing, what makes it scary, fellas, is we were just minutes, maybe days away from having this woman, this spy, becoming one of the handlers of information after 9/11 that would have really impacted what happened after that. So, and I know we're going to talk about that next week in the second half of the book and more, but this isn't just about this one shoot down. It impacts our nation's security at the deepest levels.
The Cuban intelligence network is something that is not discussed in this country. They have arrested college professors in Florida at FIU who were actually operating as Cuban spies, and they find shortwave radios that these people are receiving numerically encoded messages on. Yep. They found encoded the same type of communications equipment at Ana Belén Montes' apartment in Washington, D.C. There was a woman recently at, Georgetown or Columbia, who was accused of being a spy by someone who is well in the know in the intelligence community. And it's something that needs to be recognized here as we go into this new administration.
Yes, and I want to thank both Matt and Thomas Van Heer for being on the air. We will be back next Thursday, gentlemen, to continue this, because this is barely touching the tip of the iceberg. But we also want to recommend, especially if you want to hear this audio clip, it is frightening. Go to mattlawrencebooks.com, and you can get there real quick. Go to azfl.com, click on Amazing Performances, and just click on the book cover. and you can get right there. But this is some scary stuff, gentlemen, but I think awareness is half the preparation. And you are a preparation specialist, Matt. So, wow. When you get there at azfl.com and click on it, you'll also see Matt's other books, Dying to Get Here and What to Do Till the Calvary Comes. And I am certainly glad that we have men like you that are willing to tell the actual truth. And we're going to keep you in our prayers. And we do have to go. But thank you, gentlemen, for coming on today.
Thank you, Kevin. One thought for the day on your radio station. The actions of a few can affect the lives of many. Go do something kind for someone today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Well, Mark, I'm going to have to go. So
we'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
What do professional football players Shia Burley of the Arizona Rattlers and Deuce Latuhi of the Arizona Cardinals have in common? Well, they both played in the Arizona Football League. The Arizona Football League is amateur club football at its finest. 11-man, full contact, knock the slobber out of each other football. Players 18 and over are playing every Saturday. Teams come from all over the state for games from January through May each year and have since 1995. The Arizona Football League, the place where keeping the dream alive is why we're here for you. Get in the game. Call 1-800-887-AZFL or visit us at www.azfl.com.